Welcome back, fellas. Welcome back to the Fantasy Fools with Jim McCabe and
AJ Ferrale. What's going on, guys?
What's going on? Welcome back. Big week, especially from the Birds, especially for the LA Rams. AJ's LA Rams.
Keep that train rolling, baby. Keep that train rolling.
Two best teams in the NFC. Maybe the two best teams in football. We don't know.
We'll figure out soon, though.
Yep, we'll figure out at least for the first half of the year.
Yeah.
All right, on today's episode, as always, we have our top performers. Our injury report, our week 7 recap, and a little Amari Cooper action who decided to really make us look bad last week.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
That's okay. So it was only one game. We'll see how it turns out the rest of the year. And then a battle of the back segment, a little QB stream for you guys who have some bye weeks this week, as well as maybe possibly an injury or two. And also a buy sell. And then we'll cap it off with maybe a mailroom question here or two. And then we're also going to do the same thing as we did last week with our matchup with our sleepers and our bust of the week. We're going to post it on our social media outlets as well, on Twitter, on our Facebook group, and feel free to ask us questions on Twitter. Don't be afraid to DM us or message us at all, and we'll take care of those questions for you as well. All right, AJ, take it away with the top performers as always.
All right, guys, we got some new names on here. We got some weekly names on here like normal, but we're going to start off first with the QB that I was very skeptical of a couple weeks ago on the podcast, Carson Wentz. What more can you say about the guy? He's just playing like a
super, MVP.
Just playing like a superstar. 268 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, adds another 63 rushing yards on the ground for 31 points. Just a huge week from him. Next, we have the guy who's still playing, nobody knows how, the woman beater, everyone's favorite, Zeke Elliott. 147 yards, 2 TDs, also had 1 catch, but it was a 72-yard screen pass that he decided he was just going to take to the house.
Hey, the Dak owners will take it.
I'm sure they will. 40.9 fantasy points. Next, we have LeSean Shady McCoy doing what he does. 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 31 yards for the air, 27.2 points. And next, we have the guy me and Jim were shitting on last week, Amari Cooper, 11 catches, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns for 44 fantasy points. 44. Yeah. Next, we have Kenny Stills, 6 catches, 85 yards, 2 TDs, 26.5 points. You got to be loving that if you streamed him this week. Next, we have the flex position, Todd Gurley, who I think has been on here every week so far, or every week but one. 22 carries, 106 yards, 1 TD, 4 catches, 48 yards through the air, 25.4 points. And we have a first-timer here in O.J. Howard with 6 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns, 27.8 points. And we have the Bears defense who came in with 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery, 5 sacks, and 2 touchdowns. And they had 29 points. You got to be loving 29 points from a defense.
Yeah, especially when your defense only needs their quarterback to complete 4 passes to win a game. That's pretty impressive.
Hey, 4-7. Bears will take the W, though.
And I will take a moment to just soak in that I did start Kenny Stills this week, and I'm very happy about that.
It was a very nice start, Jim. Very nice start.
Thank you, AJ. It's always nice to get a compliment from a co-host.
Yeah, even though the co-host team's 2-5, but we won't talk about that.
That's all right. All right, so we're going to go on to the injury report real quick, a couple of names. Big one for tonight, Devontae Parker with his ankle. It's a game-time decision. Hopefully we'll actually get some news on that as the show goes on. You know, it's a guy that you guys have to keep an eye on. If not, Kenny Stills looks like a nice play with Matt Moore. Just a nice little stat for you on Matt Moore and Kenny Stills, their connection. Last year, they had 3 games started together. Kenny Stills has scored all 3 games that he started with Matt Moore. And also, with the game against the Jets, he had the 2 touchdowns when he came in late in the second half. So, just a nice little play. If Devontae Parker's out, if Devontae Parker is playing, I'm not too sure I feel comfortable playing Kenny Stills tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have Devontae Parker, and I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not even sure if I'm going to start Devontae Parker even if he does shoot up. Just one of those things where he's been out 3 weeks. He basically, I know he's only been out 2, but he played like 4 snaps a week he got injured. So, I mean, especially if it's a tough Baltimore defense, I think in a lot of season-long leagues, you want to see how he looks tonight instead of just throwing him right in there with an ankle injury after 3 weeks and just praying that he scores, basically, pretty much.
It puts you in a sketchy situation tonight with them 3 guys. I hate the Thursday night game for this reason because it puts you back in the corner.
Yeah.
Back in the corner, especially if you don't know how to play, especially if, you know, bye weeks are coming into play. you're looking for, you know, you're scrapping at the bottom of the barrel here for people to
plug especially in. This bye week. There's like, I think like 6 or 7 teams on bye.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and some big teams. So all right, so moving on with also we have Golden Tate, who was pretty much ruled out yesterday, but he's still listed as doubtful with the shoulder.
Yeah, he got it. He was supposed to be ruled out like earlier this week, and then yesterday there was like a big surprise that he practiced. So who knows how that's going? I mean, I still am going to assume that they keep him out, but we'll see. Be sure to monitor that for the rest of the way.
Yeah, you never know, because remember we did this segment before, and then with Gronk, they said he traveled, he was playing,
and then he ended up playing. Yeah.
Or no, he ended up not playing. That was against
Tampa. Yep.
Yeah, he ended up not playing. So you got to keep an eye on things like this. If he doesn't play, you have Kenny Golladay, who's coming off a hamstring injury, who also is questionable. Beginning of the week, they said he was going to be playing. Now he didn't practice today. So if Kenny Golladay doesn't play, and you're looking because this is a Sunday night game, keep that in mind, and you're looking for a late guy, T.J. Jones might be a good option.
Well, same thing with Golden Tate, because we don't know what news we're going to get. We could get if he doesn't get ruled out, and they say game time decision Sunday, and Kenny Golladay's already, I'm sure he's already been added in a lot of leagues. So it's the same thing if you're a Golladay or a Golden Tate owner and you get and those guys go down to the game time decision, you might want to grab TJ Jones just in case of because you don't know how that's going to work out. So
yeah, and you got to keep an eye on that stuff because there is some late minute gas that could definitely brew. It happens all the time. All right, so moving on, Matt Forte with the knee, he's probable. Amendola with the knee, he's on this report every week, I feel like.
Yeah, the report actually just came out and said he could sit this week with a hyperextended knee, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, same situation that Fournette dealt with last week. Stephon Diggs with his groin, he's probable. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday, and I believe he was a full-time participant today, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's a good sign that he got the full practice in and that he traveled to the team with London. But the thing that has me nervous as a Diggs owner myself is that, look, they're in London. You know the fields are, like, kind of in crappy situations over there. They're not in the best situation. He's been out 3 weeks with a groin injury. They're playing the Browns. Can't emphasize that enough that they're playing the Browns. On bye next week. So even though he got a full practice, and I could see them saying, look, we're just not going to play you this week. We're going to take it easy with you. Let you get another week's rest in, and then another week next week with the bye, just totally take it off and have him come back 100% after the bye week. I'm hoping he plays, but I wouldn't technically be counting on Diggs to suit up this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's a guy who started the year off hot, another guy who needs to have the injury report.
Yeah, he's still our league's a half-point PBR league, half-point PBR. He's still a top 15 receiver missing the last, like, 3-4 weeks, which is pretty crazy. And the week that he got hurt, he had 0.9. So, I mean, it's still pretty crazy. He's still that high. That just shows the first couple weeks how he just exploded. But he's one of these guys that just always ends up on this injury report.
Yeah, his upside's through the roof. It's just a matter of being able to stay on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
So like AJ was saying, keep an eye on him, especially with that London game. It's a 9:30 a.m. game this Sunday. So keep an eye on that. Tevin Coleman with his knee, he's probable as well. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday and full participant today. And then that pretty much rounds it up for the injury report.
Yeah, well,
the importance of it.
Michael Thomas was injured too, but he practiced today.
Yeah, but they
said not in danger.
Yeah, and from what I was reading about that whole Michael Thomas situation is that the Saints are pretty much are like not serious with the injury report. And they like to mess around with people. And it's almost a laughable situation. So Michael Thomas, there's no reason to see that he won't be expected to play this week. So he should be all right with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he should be good to go.
All right, with that being said, we're going to move on to the Week 7 recap. As always, before we dive into the good stuff with Amari Cooper, the Battle of the Backs, and the QB stream for this week coming up. AJ, please cue the music, my friend.
All right, fellas, here we go with the Week 7 recap. Let's get into it. First game of the Thursday night game, Chiefs at Raiders. Chiefs get robbed in this one on the last play of the game with about 4 flags. End up losing this one to the Raiders, 31-30. Alex Smith continues his high season, 342 yards, 3 TDs. Kareem Hunt, 117 total yards. And Ty Flukel just does it again. 6 catches, 125 yards, and 1 TD. Next, we got the Raiders. Derek Carr, 417 yards, 3 TDs. Amari Cooper, 11 catches, 210 yards, 2 TDs. And the Crabtree with a game-winning TD in the game's final seconds to win it for the Raiders. Next, we got Bucks at Bills. Bills win this one 30-27. Jameis Winston, 384 yards, 3 TDs, 1 pick. And the O.J. Howard, the rookie, 6 catches, 98 yards, 2 TDs. Big game, Mike Evans does it again. 7 catches, 188 yards. Excuse me, 1 TD. Next, we got the Bills. Tyrod Taylor, 268 yards, 1 TD. Shady McCoy, 23 attempts, 91 yards, 2 TDs. And the recently claimed Deontay Thompson, 4 catches for 170 yards. To you, Jimmy.
Next, we have the Blackbirds visiting the Vikings. As the Vikings take this one 24-16, as Flacco is looking like Flacco, 186 and a touchdown. And the Vikings, Case Keenum, 188, no touchdowns in the pick. But Latavius Murray had his breakout game for 18 carries, 133 yards and a touchdown. As again, the Vikings take this one 24-16 at home. Next, we have the New York Jets visiting the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins took this one 31-28 as they came back as Jay Chicken Cutler broke a couple of ribs, but not so fast. Matt Moore comes in and throws 2 touchdowns to Kenny Stills, who, he's not on the Saints anymore. He's on Miami. He's catching bombs on his back as they take this one again 31-28 as the Jets are trying to continue that tank as they were screwing it up the last couple of weeks.
Next game we got the Arizona and Rams in London. Rams blow out Arizona 33-0. Break Carson Palmer's arm. Looks like Arizona's going to win about 3-4 games this year, maybe.
Cheerio, Palmer.
Goff, 235 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception, 1 rushing TD on a beautiful read option read. You got to love it. Pulling over defenders as he gets within the end zone. Todd Gurley, 154 total yards again, 1 TD. And my rookie of the year, Cooper Kupp, 4 receptions, 51 yards. 1 TD as the Rams take this one again, 33-0. Next, we got the Jags at the Colts. Saxonville going in there, whooping up on the Colts, 27-0. Bortles, 330 yards, 1 TD. TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory picking up the slack for Leonard Fournette, rushing for a combined 169 yards, 2 TDs. Allen Hurns goes for 5 catches and 101 yards. And Jacksonville defense with 10 sacks, I repeat, 10 sacks. Jacoby Brisket on the floor all day. And Jacksonville take this one again, 27-0.
Here come the Saints, here come the Saints, here come the Saints are marching in, visiting the Rogerless Packers as they take them out 26-17 as Brett Hundley looking terrible, 87 yards passing as an interception, he ran one in, got one for his first Lambeau leap as Aaron Jones stole the show for the Packers, 17 rushes on 31 yards and 1 touchdown, but again, Breeze took care of business, throwing for his 9th consecutive 300-yard game against the Packers, 331 yards and 2 total touchdowns. 2 picks, and Mark Ingram having a hell of a year, 110 total yards and 1 touchdown. Moving on to Carolina at the Bears. Again, no offensive touchdowns in this one, 17-3, as Mitch Trubisky, the rookie, completes 4 passes for 107 yards. 4 passes. Ugh. But he still gets the W as the Bears' defense takes care of business and scores twice on their own.
Next game, we got the Titans at the Browns. One 12-9. Next, we got the Cowboys going into San Fran, putting a beating on them, 40-10. Dak, no sophomore slump for him. 234 yards, 4 total TDs. The woman beater, 219 total yards, 3 TDs. And Dez throws up the X, 7 catches, 63 yards, 1 TD. As for the 49ers, C.J. Beathard, 22 for 38, 235 yards, 30 yards rushing, only 1 TD. Carlos Hyde, 14 attempts for 68 yards. And Marquise Goodwin, 4 catches for 80 yards. As again, the Cowboys steamroll the Niners, 40-10. All right, next game, we got the Broncos at the Chargers. Chargers win this one, 21-0. Trevor Siemian, who is just awful, might I add. 25 of 35, 207 yards, 1 TD. As for the Chargers, Rivers, 15 of 26, 183 yards, 2 TDs. Hunter Henry starting to fill that tight end gap for them. 4 catches, 73 yards as the Chargers win this one again, 21-0. Next, we got the Bengals at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh starting to look up. Wins this game 29-14. Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, 17-30, 140 yards, 2 TDs, all the through, 2 picks. Joe Mixon, 7 attempts, 48 yards. That's all in the first half. Didn't see a carry in the second half. A.J. Green held to 3 catches for 41 yards. As for the Steelers, Big Ben, 14-24, 224 yards, 2 TDs. Le'Veon rings the bell again for 190 yards. And Tony Toe-Tap Brown doing what he does best, 4 catches for 65 yards and 1 TD. To Jimmy.
Next, we have the Seahawks visiting the woeful Giants. Russell Wilson, 27-39, 334 yards and 3 touchdowns, looking like the stud of old. Doug Baldwin looking great. 9 for 92 and a touchdown. And Eli, 19 of 39, 103 yards and a touchdown. Evan Engram looking like the only positive thing for this 1-7 Giants team. 6 for 60 yards and a touchdown. Moving on to the Sunday night game, the rematch of Super Bowl. Atlanta at the Patriots. The Pats defense is back, baby. 23-7 as Matt Ryan was looking for Julio. Julio. And Julio was back, 9 for 99, a touchdown, finally getting on the board. And Brandon Cooks looking like the first rounder that they sold for him, 4 for 65 and a touchdown. And moving on, finally, lastly, to the game of the week, the Redskins at the Eagles on that Monday nighter. That's Wentz looking like Harry Houdini in there, getting out of the pile and scaling for 17 yards. Looking like a stud in the MVP, 17 of 25, 268, and 4 TDs and a pick that was basically a punt, so it doesn't even count. And Ertz continues his role, 5 for 89 and a touchdown. All right, another week 7 recap in the book. Again, a lot of fun. AJ's team's on fire. The birds are on fire. I haven't shaved in 5 weeks since winning streak started, and also a 5-game winning streak in fantasy, but we won't mention that.
Yeah,
too much.
4-game losing streak for me.
That's all right. That's all right. AJ's got to shave too soon.
Hey, all right. 2-5, only 1 game out in division. I can't be that upset.
Yeah. Woeful at best. All right, moving on. So again, we're gonna continue the show with a little Amari Cooper action, because we absolutely destroyed him last week, saying how bad he is. And he came out and pretty much made us put our foot in our mouths with 11 catches for 210 yards and 2 touchdowns, basically doubling his total for the year, which was 222 coming into the year. AJ, I'm basically going to come out and say it. Is this a fluke, or is the Cooper back that we seen last year?
I mean, they did a good job this week moving him around. Didn't keep him outside, ran him in the slot, switched him in certain formations. I definitely don't think it's – I'm not going to say it's a fluke after what he showed us last year, but he ain't going to be going off again. Like we said, dude, we said this at the beginning of the year where Amari Cooper has these weeks where he does nothing and then he explodes and he gets all his points in a certain amount of weeks, and it looks like
– it looks great at the end of the year.
Yeah, where he's probably still going to finish top 12, top 15 this year even after the woeful start. Because, I mean, the 40 points is like two or three weeks worth of points for some guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as long as Derek Carr looks like he did in that game, because that was the first glimpse we saw of Derek Carr looking as good as he did the year before, too, I think he's honestly going to be fine for the rest of the year as what he normally is. He's going to have some down weeks, but he's going to have some boom weeks where he goes for 25, 26. And you're just going to have to live with it. I give all you guys props who kept him in your lineup after that woeful start, because I would have definitely – we were suggesting to take him out. And whoever started him, props to you, man. Props to you. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and for the most part, you know, from what I've seen, people did keep him in. But like we said, though, you know, even seeing it in the game that he went off in this past week, who was getting red zone targets?
Crabtree,
right? He's looking at his touchdowns. There were 38 and 45 yards, but 38-yard touchdown, 45-yard touchdown. So that tells you right there that he's still not the red zone target. He's strictly a big play guy. And it seems to me that obviously you're going to play him, but you're obviously not going to get much for him. So I think you're kind of stuck with him this year. I kind of think you're stuck with him.
Yeah, I mean, he had 19 targets this week, which is just a ridiculous amount. He easily could have had, instead of those whatever he had, 40-plus points, he could have had 50 with the balls he drew. He dropped a couple balls too. So, I mean, I think you might be able to get a little bit something for him if you want to flip him now and you don't feel comfortable with him going the rest of the way. Or if you're a team that's battling for the playoffs for your life and you can't have guys on bye weeks, he's got a bye week coming up, week 10, you might want to think about moving him before that. But I don't mind it. I wouldn't mind having him the rest of the way, to be honest with you. I mean, the 19 targets is just – that's a ridiculous amount. And like I said, as long as Derek Carr's playing okay, I think he'll be okay. But I also agree with some of your points where he just is what he is. He's not going to have these consistent – he's not just going to be consistent out of nowhere. He's been like this for the last 2-3 years where he has some games where he just doesn't do anything and then he explodes.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of people I'd much rather have him over. And that's kind of my point. Like, you're not going to – unless you need a running back of some sort, you need to trade him to get some type of value from him. I don't see you getting someone back that's worth getting rid of him because – he's kind of still stuck between that rock and the hard place. His start was so woeful at the beginning of the year that now you look at him, 19 targets is insane. I won't give you that. So, but still, I don't know. It's one of those guys you draft and you kind of have to stick through the rest of the year, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would hold on to him. Especially after the week that he had this week. You'll probably get low balls for an offer because the person's going to say, oh, he only did it 1 week. and all that. It's just not worth it. Just hang on to Amari Cooper. And it just, if Derek Carr's back, he's fine. So he does have the sixth. He does have one of the easiest schedules left for receivers, which is nice. They have the sixth easiest. So, I mean, that's really good. But like you said, just hang on to him. I think he's fine. 19 targets. I think all you're going to see – he ain't going to see 19 targets in a game the rest of the year. Let's just be honest. But his stock is rising, and just hang on to him.
Yeah, I agree with this one in regards to Cooper. All right. So, with that, moving on. We're going to talk a little bit about the back segment here. We're going to talk again, basically two situations that are brewing. Again, with the Viking situation with Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. We basically told you guys this, McKinnon was the guy to have. Wasn't the case last week.
No, it was not.
Latavius Murray was 18 for 113 yards and a touchdown compared to Jerick McKinnon's 14 for 47. And it's one of those situations where it's an interesting stat here with the Vikings. Since Dalvin Cook went down, they have upped their rush attempts by 32% in their games.
Wow.
So, you know, you're looking at 32 carries between these two guys, very close as far as volume. And I think it's the situation where you play both these guys, whether one you have them. If they're going to run the ball the way they want to run the ball.
Yeah. I was going to say it's kind of to that point where they're going to play hot hand. Whoever starts off the game or whoever looks better to start off the game is going to be used more. I still think McKinnon is just a little more valuable just because of that catching ability that he has. But like you said, last week we were on here raving about McKinnon, saying he was the guy. He's been here. He's been in this offense. And this week Latavius Murray came out and looked great. So, like, I wouldn't mind playing either of these guys on a weekly basis. Like you said, if they're going to continue to run the ball like this, and I fully expect them to, as long as Case Keenum's in, and when Teddy Bridgewater comes back, I think this only helps that offense.
Yeah, and again, that's a good point with Teddy Bridgewater. They have a bye next week after the game in London.
I fully expect him to be active after that bye week.
Yeah, so do I. And he will be playing once he's activated. Because no one really knows what's going on with the Bradford situation.
He's done.
That's kind of irrelevant at this point.
Yeah.
But again, they're playing Cleveland this week in London. They have the bye week after. If you have either one of these guys going into this week, you're playing either one of them. I mean, even if you have both of them, I think you're playing both of them. I think it's one of those stack situations.
Yeah.
If you're Kamara and
Ingram.
Exactly. Kamara and Ingram. Even I noticed in our league, I've seen a Crowell and
Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson's stat.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how confident I'd be in that.
I mean, Duke Johnson's been solid.
Duke Johnson's fine. I'm talking about Crowell.
Yeah, I mean.
So interesting stack there. But again, we talked about that situation last year with Danny Woodhead and Melvin Gordon in the beginning of the year before Danny Woodhead got hurt. So it's definitely possible. But this week going into it, especially with all teams on bye, the six teams that are on bye, I'm going with I wouldn't mind if I had both of them guys starting both of them.
No, like you said, if they're going to continue to run the ball, then it's totally fine.
Yeah.
They'll be totally fine.
That's interesting because they were running the ball pretty well with Dalvin Cook.
It's honestly even more crazy that they were talking about having like one of the worst O-lines in the league coming into this year, and that O-line has really picked up the slack for them. They've really been able to run the ball consistently, and I mean, hey, they're winning games. So
that's the only reason why they're winning games. They're running the ball and they're protecting Case Keenum.
Yep.
You know, protecting their quarterback from making mistakes is pretty much one of those situations. You know, we talk about Alex Smith all the time before coming in this year, before he became a gunslinger all of a sudden, that he just doesn't turn the ball over, does, you know, don't lose the game for us. So that's all it is when we're talking about the Vikings. So again, keep an eye on these two guys. We're starting these two guys. You kind of just have to keep an eye on them and keep riding with them. It's Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. So moving on. With the Marshawn Lynch suspension, as he's too busy running over high schoolers this past, yesterday.
Yeah, that video is great though.
Pretty funny though. Yeah, the one D tackle was pretty big.
Yeah, for real. I know.
That guy brought him down.
It was
him
awesome.
In face mask.
It was awesome.
Yeah, pushed him in the face mask. It was great. It was hilarious. But so while Marshawn Lynch is too busy doing that and taking the public transportation with the fans and his cousin Marcus Peters. By the way, I want to bring something up that has nothing to do with fantasy, but when Marshawn Lynch. I read something that when he went out there, he wasn't even protecting Derek Carr. He was protecting Marcus Peters. Is that correct?
I'm not even sure. I didn't even.
I read a report on that.
I mean, who knows?
Apparently Marcus Peters is like his cousin.
Oh.
So apparently when he ran out there, like, everyone thought he was protecting Derek Carr. He was protecting a guy on the other team.
Yeah, that would be awesome if that actually was true, though. Yeah, for
so
real.
If it held any, yeah, so from what I read, that was pretty hilarious. But anyway, moving on with the Raiders situation. Jalen Richard and Deontay Washington. When Marshawn left the game, Richard had 9 rushes for 31 yards. They both had 9 carries. They're pretty equal in the numbers, with the exception of DeAndre Washington having the touchdown. But Jalen Richard, 9 for 31. DeAndre Washington, 9 for 33 with the touchdown. And then as far as receiving, Richard had 4 for 45 and Washington 3 for 7. So Richard had a better game through the air. But I think it's going to be one of those situations where it's going to be split. And I think these two guys, it's going to be split right down the middle going into this week.
Yeah, I totally agree. I actually don't mind starting either of these guys this week. If you guys, like we were saying, you probably don't have both, obviously. But if you have either one, I would not be opposed to starting either of them. Like you said, they should each see around 10 to 15 carries, which is nice. And, I mean, if you have one of these guys, just it's a nice little bye. Like you said, there's a lot of bye weeks this year. There's a nice little fill-in this week. Both of them, they should see a good amount of volume touches. And I think it's better than just playing some random guy. You know what I mean? At least you know that they're going to see touches. Like you said, it ain't going to just go one way. There's no way.
No. And they're great bye week fill-ins this week. They are only rentals, basically, because once Lynch comes back. Because Rashard still played a little bit when Lynch was in. Because it's an interesting situation, because Lynch really isn't producing.
Not at all.
Not at all, but they're kind of staying with him because he's Lynch.
Yeah.
So, and they we know they're going to get their points through the air. That's just the way it is. You've seen it last week. All right, so again, if you have either one of them guys, not a bad option this week, especially on the bye week, and again, same situation with the Vikings. It's going to be a lot of stacks this week and a lot of shot lineups. It really is a lot of shot lineups.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing awful lineups the last 3 weeks. I haven't scored 80, so.
Yeah, I mean, I went through a 3-week span where I was starting Elijah McGuire. So, I mean, yeah. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't have a better option.
Yeah.
You're praying for a BS touchdown.
Yeah.
Or a garbage time touchdown. Yeah, it's a situation. Yeah, it's fancy. So what happens? You lose some injuries.
Yeah, you just got to hope you hit on the guys you start pretty much.
Yeah. You know, you can always analyze as much as you want, but it comes down, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can analyze as much as you want, but it's still, you still just need a little bit of luck on your side. It's fantasy. You just need luck. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Obviously, you can talk about who you think is going to do what, and you know there's certain guys that are going to do it. But when you get down, like, the deeper, like, plays, you just are hoping for a touchdown pretty much.
That's why it's so crucial in the beginning of the year to not miss on your, you know, quote unquote studs.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that are supposed to get you that consistent 10 to 15 every week, and those are the guys that are supposed to pick up the slack when you have to, you know, start those shot guys.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, barring injury, you try not to miss on those guys.
Yep, exactly.
All right, moving on. We're gonna go on to the QB stream now, and again, this is a segment where we're gonna give you some options this week of, you know, some good fill-in guys with the QB streams this week. I'm going to start mine off with Andy Dalton versus the Colts. Dalton didn't have a great game last week. He had pretty low in the yardage against the Steelers. But the Steelers, again, number one against quarterbacks, number two against receivers in fantasy. So the Steelers are back. Steelers defense is back.
They went up to New England. Or not New England, excuse me. They went to Kansas City. And I think they got a little bit tired of hearing the chatter from the media saying they were done. They didn't really have it anymore. And that defense is amped up, dude. They looked very, very good 2 weeks in a row. I know it was against the Cincinnati Bengals, who isn't anything to be raving about shutting them down. But going into Kansas City and getting that W, I think, was huge for their confidence.
Yeah, they talk about all the trouble they have internally with Martavis Bryant and all that.
Yeah, man.
But they are still winning. They are still producing that defense. Good. J.J. Watt's brother's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a team you have to keep an eye on, especially if you're going to be facing them coming up next upcoming weeks. So with Andy Dalton, again, he's facing the Colts. I'd recommend you play anybody against the Colts.
Yeah.
They're 29th against QBs. Indianapolis is allowing an average this year of 311 yards passing and 1.5 touchdowns per week. So you're basically, you know, you basically could, especially with AJ Green you basically can see Andy Dalton getting an easy somewhere between 250 and 300 yards and two touchdowns this week. You know, with the exception of him throwing a pick. But still, that's pretty good for a bye week film.
No, I agree. He's got multiple TDs in two out of the last 3 weeks. Two or more TDs. You gotta love that. He, like you said, the Colts are just absolutely awful against the pass. They're just allowing QBs to kill them. And like you said, A.J. Green, he's building a nice chemistry with Tyler Croft, I think, who's filling in very nicely for Tyler Eifert.
$23 Tyler Croft.
Yeah, might I throw in there. And Brandon LaFell even looked good. I think that their offense is what it is. It's not going to be some high-powered offense. But since they hired the new offensive coordinator, it's definitely changed a lot. He's definitely helped a lot of their team, a lot of their offense get back on track, that's for sure. And like you said, the culture just you can't not play them.
And they should be able to run the ball a little bit this week, which should open up the play action, should open up the big plays.
Yeah. I mean, we'll mix in, like I said, he had 48 yards in the first half on Sunday, and then they just didn't give him a carry the rest of the game. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with that. But, I mean, you drafted this guy in the second round?
Early second.
And you have Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard, and you're just not using them. Like, you use Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill the last two or three years, and where has that got you?
Yeah.
I think it's just we were expecting Mixon to totally take the job by now, and I think it's time that the Bengals just look themselves in the eye and just say, look, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard are what they are. Let's see what this guy gets. Get this guy the ball and let Andy Dalton turn into that guy that I think he can be perfect at, where he's just running play action and throwing it down the field. You know what I mean?
He's a game manager.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's totally fine. It's so hard to find a good QB in this league. It's totally fine. He can be a game manager. He can be a very productive game manager. He has a receiver to do it. They have three good running backs, I think, you know, with the exception of Jeremy Hill, but maybe yeah. good enough to rotate in and have like a three-headed monster similar to the Eagles. And I don't think they stick to the run enough. I think they're too worried about egos. I think, you know, it's a tough situation. But this week against the Colts, love it. Because the plays are going to be made. We've seen it. They can still make the plays. And if you're going to do it against anybody, you're going to do it against the Colts.
Agreed. Yeah, I like the Andy Dalton start this week.
Yeah. So what about you, AJ? What's your QB stream this week?
Sorry, Josh McCown. He's been steadily flying under the radar the last couple weeks. He is QB number 13 in fantasy football right now.
Top 13 quarterback.
Which no one would expect to see. He's got multiple TDs in three straight, at least two TDs. He does have four interceptions over those games, which is not what you want to see. But he's got seven touchdowns in 3 weeks. He had a rushing touchdown last week. He's just playing very good for them right now. There's really nothing else I can say. He's playing a Falcons team who hasn't really been awful against QBs, but they haven't been great. They're like middle of the pack, I guess you could say. But I expect the Falcons to start. I don't know what's going on with them offensively. They look a little lost without Kyle Shanahan. The drunk Sarkisian is not getting it done. Right now, but I expect them to put up some points on the Jets this week, and that should lead to a lot of Josh McCown throws, who's building a pretty good chemistry with Kurz, building pretty good chemistry with looking like he's going to be a very good wideout from my Temple Owls, Robbie Anderson. And as much as I have been not talking about this guy or a lot of people, Alton Seferian Jenkins, man, this guy has really turned it on for them the last couple weeks, and it looks like Josh McCown has the ability to get the ball down the field for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, Josh McCown has been doing a lot more than people expected.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's an understatement. And again, they blew that game last week, but they still, you know, threw it around on a Miami defense who's been playing pretty well this year. You know, they shut down guys like Rivers. McCown's not a slouch this year. It's pretty crazy to say that.
No.
He's not a slouch because usually he's been passed around the league, you know. More than wanted. So, all right. Well, McCown, we'll see. We'll see if it comes back. I mean, you know, he definitely can have a decent game this week. Speaking of Rivers, I'm going to go on with Rivers as well. I like Rivers this week against the Pats. He's in New England. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's very high over under. It's an over under of like 48.5. It's usually a good sign that there's going to be some points scored in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least New England's putting up points.
Exactly. And if there's going to be, you know, if they're going to get blown out of the water early, Rivers could definitely be in there.
For a big day throwing.
Big day
throwing. For sure.
You know, he's coming off facing the Denver defense. You know, he was in Los Angeles. 15-26 for 103 yards, 83 yards and two touchdowns. Doesn't look, you know, too sexy jumping out at you, but still two touchdowns against the Denver Denver secondary. And now he's facing the Pats, who were 32nd against QBs, but they did just shut down Matt Ryan a little bit.
Yeah, but like I was saying, that offense hasn't been what they were last year. Yeah. So,
and they still gave up 100 yards to Julio, so Keenan Allen could be in for a big day.
Yeah, well, Keenan Allen's in for a big guy. He's a must-play every week.
But this is a great step at New England this year. You know, defense is supposed to be pretty good. New England allows 323 yards passing this year on a regular basis on average and is allowing 2.1 touchdowns per week, passing touchdowns, and only picking off less than half of that. So they have 0.4 interceptions per week, so they're not getting a lot of turnovers, and they're giving up a lot of touchdowns. That's a recipe for Rivers to have a big day, not just TD-wise, but also yardage-wise as well.
Yeah, I mean, last 4 weeks he's got three out of the last 4 weeks, excuse me, he's got multiple TDs. He's got 250 yards in three out of the last 4 weeks as well. He's only got one interception over the last 3 weeks, over the last 4 weeks, which looked great because the first 3 weeks of the season he had four. Phillip Rivers, he's just – I don't understand how to explain it. The guy just always gets – I can't say he always gets a dunk because he hasn't won anything. But fantasy-wise, he always is a good player no matter what. He always gets his stats drawn up, putting up points, and you really couldn't ask for a better matchup, even though I think New England is going to turn that defense around because it's New England. They always find a way somehow. But the Dante Hightower news hurts them bad, out for the year, which is a big, big loss for them. And but like you said, you can't ignore the matchup. The worst QB, the worst against QBs, worst defense against QBs. And like you said, Patriots should be putting up plenty of points to where Rivers either has to play from behind or has to put up points. So I like Rivers this week.
Yeah, this could be a big fantasy day if you have guys on either side of the ball here.
Agreed.
For both these guys. And I think it starts with Rivers and starts with Tom as always. Starts with the quarterbacks. So all right, so lastly on the QB stream for me at least, I have Kirk Cousins facing Dallas. Cousins had a big game last week. He had a decent amount of it in the fourth quarter when they were in garbage time, but he went over 300 yards passing. He had three touchdowns and a pick against Philly. He's facing a Dallas team who's 20th against QBs, and then you know a team who's been giving up a lot of points with the exception of against San Fran because they seem to dominate coming off the bye. But it's a team that, you know, is going to have to win through Cousins, and Cousins is averaging 275 yards a game this year with two touchdowns. So it's not, you know, he has a recipe to be a pretty productive fantasy quarterback on a regular basis, and this is a guy that you have. I don't see how you take him out of the lineup anymore.
Yeah, he's killing it, dude. 10 TDs in the last 4 weeks. You can't be upset with that. He's got 300 yards in three of his last four games. He's just, like you said, He started off slow, and he's just been slinging it now. Jay Gruden and him seem to have figured it out. There's not one really guy who's a must-start in that receiving core other than Jordan Reed now. Jordan Reed, he looked, even though he wasn't 100%, looked great against the Eagles, but he always kills the Eagles. But he's an absolute stud. He's got weapons, but there just hasn't been that one guy. Crowder's off to a slow start. Pryor hasn't been that guy they asked him to be, and Kirk Cousins is still killing it. And like you said, they really haven't found the run game. I expect a little bit of run game this week in Dallas, I'm assuming. But, yeah, Kirk Cousins is a must-start this week, especially with a Dallas team who I think is going to come in to Washington. But as long as Dak can play like he has, which has been great, I think they're going to put up some points. Zeke looked like Zeke last week, which is not good news for the rest of the league. And, yeah, Kirk Cousins is – I'm totally fine with starting this week. He's probably a top six, top five play for me this week.
Yeah, it could definitely be a similar game to it was when he just faced Philly. With Philly putting up the points they put up against him and Wentz putting up the numbers they put against him, Dak could do very well, come in there, do the same thing, or Zeke, whatever, go off. And Cousins can be in this very similar situation, having to throw the ball a lot and to get him back in it. But like you said, with that situation with the receivers, with the Dachshund thing, and they're playing the hot hand at receiver – and all, it's a little bit of a cluster there, and he's still finding a way to get it done, and it's pretty impressive. So, Cousins, I don't see how you can take him out of the lineup anymore.
No, you have to play him. You have to play him until he proves to you that you can't play him no more.
Yeah, because, again, there's not many better options, even as far as streaming. So.
No, I know that next week you might want to stay away from Cousins. I think they're in Seattle next week. I'm almost like 100% positive on that. So you might want to stay away from playing any of your Redskins next week. But after that, it's pretty much he's good. Yeah, after that, he's good. You can play him for sure. And Seattle, just I know they aren't what they were, but they're still very scary.
You still have to go there. It's
very scary. Yeah.
Still be scary. Exactly. It's just like Deshaun Watson having to go there this week.
Exactly.
You don't. You know, I'm not playing the rookie there.
Yeah, so, I'm with you.
So that's a good point. That's another thing. If you have a better option than Deshaun Watson, I would stay away from Deshaun Watson this week. Rookie going into Seattle. I know he had the week to prepare for it, but still, you cannot prepare for that noise until you actually.
No, and especially what they're going to do. Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman, they've been like solid this year. That's just because they've been getting a lot of touches together. I don't expect Minnesota to be able, even though getting Dwayne Brown, their left tackle back, is huge for them, especially this week. Absolutely huge. But I don't think it's going to matter that much. I think Seattle wins this game pretty handily. I do like the Texans. I just think Seattle's hitting that stride where they're going to, as the season goes on, they're going to be more, teams should be more and more afraid to see them on that schedule.
It's the same story every year with Seattle. They start off slow, and they get on a little bit of a hot streak, and then towards the middle, and then towards the end of the year, Wilson starts hitting his stride.
Yeah, you called, dude. You called that.
It's every year.
You called that, dude. The Russell Wilson thing. You were spot on that. He has been absolutely unbelievable, and he's one of these guys where when I watch play every week, he has a couple wow moments where I'm like, wow, how did he do that? This guy, he's probably the best QB under pressure, but the guy in Philadelphia is making a case for that now, which is really weird because coming out, one of the things against Wentz is where if you can get pressure on him, he kind of panics a little bit, and that has not been the case during his NFL career. But like you said about Russell Wilson, he started slow, one TD through 2 weeks. He's got multiple TDs in three of the last four, three plus TDs in two of the last four. And he's just found a stride, even without a run game, which is and that terrible offensive line.
Which is always the case with him.
Yeah, and he just gets it done. So I don't want to be a team that has to play Seattle. So I'll tell you that much.
No. And it starts this week. He's facing a tough defense. A banged up defense this week. But I'm with you. I think they handle Houston pretty well.
Yeah.
I would feel confident you're starting Russell Wilson this week.
No, well, you have to. I mean, if you have Russell Wilson, you're pretty much starting him.
Exactly.
So
he's in that guaranteed spot. All right. With that being said, for the QB stream again. If you guys have any other questions for QB streaming, start sits or anything of that nature, feel free to ask us on Facebook or Twitter @fantasy_fools. Again, our Facebook is also the Fantasy Fools fan group, and feel free to ask any questions on there. And again, we'll be happy to answer them live. Doesn't matter. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. Also, I want to say this is just something new we're trying, guys. But the Fool's Gold matchup and sleeper, guys. If you guys like that better on the podcast, please let us know. This is just something we're trying new to see how the show flows a little bit better without it, because we talk about we're trying to hit on more stuff and then give you guys after we can still give you guys who we think is going to be good and who we think is going to be a sleeper this week and obviously who we think is going to bust. So if you guys like that, we really appreciate the feedback of letting us know if you guys want us to keep doing it this way or if you want us to go back to the old way where we add it on to the show. And, yeah, just let us know, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. We're always open to feedback and, anything to help the show better. And, again, thank you guys again for listening. So, lastly, we're going to do our buy-sell. It kind of consists of three players, one of which is number one fantasy quarterback in the league, and then two receivers that are struggling a tad bit the last 2 weeks, but one struggling because of the injury to the best quarterback in the league. So I'm going to start with Jordy Nelson, AJ. Jordy Nelson, buy, sell, keep. I'm looking at a guy since Brent Hundley came in. Four targets last week for one reception, 13 yards. He's a guy who's facing a top 15, defense against quarterbacks from weeks 9 through 12. And he's on bye this week. But coming out of the bye, four straight weeks, he's facing a top 15 defense who's against wide receivers. And is it a guy that you try to get rid of or you just hold on to?
I'm done. If I have him or Adams, I'm done, dude. Has nothing to do with talent. And, you know, it's a real shame for a guy like Jordy Nelson, who is having a great year. And he's just getting up there in age, and you keep wondering how long is he going to be able to do it for. And he's going off again. He loses his quarterback, which is just brutal for him. Not even losing the quarterback, losing the best quarterback in the league, in some people's opinion. You got to get rid of you got to get rid of him now. The only Green Bay Packer I feel comfortable starting with going the rest of the way is Aaron Jones. It looked like they just said, Ty Montgomery, we appreciate what you did, but the kid's just better this week. He exploded. And as we saw with Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, they just did nothing. 80-something yards for Hundley. No touchdowns. He can't get the ball downfield. I'm done with all my Packers. They have the 25th hardest schedule remaining for receivers. I'm getting rid of them ASAP. And I don't really want to say take whatever you can get, but I'm done. I'm off the train for them. I'm for both of them, yeah. Adams and Nelson. It's over.
Yeah, coming off the bye, facing Detroit, going at Chicago, who Chicago has probably the most underrated defense in the entire league. Chicago never talked about because the team overall isn't very good on the offensive side. Then they play Buffalo, and then they're at Pitt. I mean, that's four games that are like.
Just
I can see one of these games where Brent Hundley gets benched. You know what I mean? So it's like, what it's going to be a game of musical chairs at that quarterback position. I think the rest of the year, and I think the Packers are done. I think Jordy Nelson is done. When Rodgers went down, Adams' value dropped. Nelson's value dropped. Cobb,
The
whole offense just drops, with the exception of Aaron Jones now because he seems to be the emergence. Seems to be the only decent playmaker on there that's remaining, and it's. It's a guy you. If you can't sell him, I'm not even sure if you start him.
Not anymore. It's a real shame too. It just is what it is. It's reality. When these QBs go down, I mean, it can happen to anybody. Where we saw even it happened to the best. Where it happened to Tone when Big Ben went out, Landry Jones came in and he was struggling. He wasn't struggling, but for tone wise, he was struggling. It's just time to cut ties with your Packers. If they're not Aaron Jones, it's over. The guy just isn't going to be able to get the ball downfield, and that's all that needs to be said about that. That's all that needs to be said. I'm off the train for both of them. Sell, and sell.
Yeah.
If I have,
I would have did it that week, to be honest. And the week he got hurt, I would have did it that week. It's tough. It's just the way it is. They go hand in hand. People don't understand. Well, some people do, but they look at it like, well, Jordy's top eight. Yeah, he's top eight with the best quarterback in the league.
Exactly. So. And Devontae Adams, I mean, he was getting treated like a number one receiver by certain teams. Mm-hmm. I saw the Minnesota, when they played them, they put Rhodes on Devontae Adams, not Jordy Nelson. Teams were treating Devontae like the number one receiver, but neither of them are number one receivers anymore. It's over.
Yeah, you gotta move on from.
Agreed.
Find a solution fast before your season spirals out of control.
I agree.
So, all right, next on our list, we have T.Y. Hilton, another receiver who seems to be struggling a little bit. I think Brissett isn't playing too bad. Last week, he had a rough game.
Yeah, I mean, but 10 sacks is just absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somewhere on him, but I'm sure somewhere.
Yeah, Jacksonville's defense is unbelievable.
Yeah,
you take that with a grain of salt.
They have a guy on there. I think it's Calais Campbell. He's got 10 sacks already.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Big free agent sign.
Yeah, huge. That was a big loss for Arizona.
Yeah, huge loss for Arizona. So, look at T.Y. He's gonna be at Cincinnati, at Houston, and then at Pitt the next 3 weeks. Tough teams to face. You're looking at top 13 teams against wide receivers. He had 12 targets the last 2 weeks, three receptions and 46 yards. One of them games against the Titans.
12 targets, he only got three catches?
Yeah, only 12 targets. Only three catches on 12 targets in the last 2 weeks. One of them games was against the Titans, who has a pretty awful secondary. So it's a team that is having a little bit of trouble getting T.Y. the ball, having a little trouble hitting him on the deep routes, and he seems to become a little really, really one-dimensional.
It's crazy how guys look without their quarterback, dude.
And again, another guy who just hasn't had luck all year, but he had a couple of good games in the beginning of the year, but still, he hasn't had luck all year and isn't going to have luck the rest of the year. That's one of those Peyton Manning neck hurts injuries. No one knows what the hell's going on with
prayers up for Andrew Luck. I hope he gets healthy because it would be a real shame for the NFL to lose a guy like that.
Yeah. So another guy selling. If you
take anything you can get.
Take
they have the 32nd ranked schedule the rest of the way. They're the hardest receiver schedule the rest of the way. I know you're not going to get much for him, but I just don't. There's no other way. There's just no other way to put it. I know he's still T.Y. Hill, and I know he can still get it done, but it's just over with Brissett. Just take whatever you can get and move on and get out of there. T.Y. is still special, but like you said, 3 catches on 12 targets is just awful. They have the last ranks. They have the hardest schedule left for receivers. Just get rid of them. Get them out for anything you can. Talk to your league. I'd go to every team if I had them and just see what they would give me and just take best offer.
Yeah.
Be completely honest.
I mean, you got games. I mean, from weeks – I know this is a little bit down the road, but from weeks – after week 11 bye, from weeks 12, you have Tennessee, which is a good matchup. But week 13, you have at Jacksonville. Week 14, at Buffalo. 15, Denver. 16, at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You ain't going to win too many playoff games.
No.
I know we're going down the road here, but you aren't going to win too many playoff games.
No, get rid of them. Get rid of T.Y. now.
Yeah. From weeks 8, like you just mentioned with the schedule, weeks 8 through 16, I see one favorable matchup, and that's Tennessee.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Get rid of T.Y. Sell.
Sell. Again, agreed on T.Y. Hill. Alex Smith, though, however, a guy I keep shitting on. As a quarterback, but as a fantasy quarterback, I don't think he's that. I'm still waiting for him to die as far as a fantasy quarterback. He doesn't seem to be able to do that. I would love for him to do that this week, as I so happen to play him and Tyreek Hill. So that'd be great against the Denver defense that seems to me wants to bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, Denver's struggling very much. I don't think the defensive players are too happy with Trevor Siemian, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little bit of a wake-up call this week on Monday night, which would be very nice for me. Alex Smith is the number one quarterback, though, however. And what are your thoughts on him? Hold on to him? Because it seems to be a position that consistency is lacking this year, especially with the injuries.
I'm buying him, if I can, to be honest with you.
Buying him. AJ with the buy.
Yeah, so. I don't usually – I usually really like Alex Smith. But I usually like him because he gets the yards from the rushing. This year has just been
swinging.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill is a stud. Travis Kelce's a stud. Kareem Hunt's a stud. That Andy Reid has an offense clicking on all cylinders, and they are a big play offense. But it's working out, and that draft of Pat Mahomes was a blessing in disguise for this team. I really think that had a big impact on Alex Smith's play. I think he realized that if he didn't start getting the ball down the field or putting up points, that he was out as starter. And I think he just decided he's having an MVP year too,
yeah.
Alex Smith.
Well, when you're in the last year of your contract, you're 34 years old, and it's pretty much put up or shut up at this point if you want to continue playing from this year on.
Oh, even if it's not with the Chiefs, he's getting a starting job next year.
Well, I'm saying before the season started, it's put up or shut up because this is last year of your contract. If you don't perform and say you get benched by week 5 to Pat Mahomes,
and you're 30.
Not saying you won't get signed, but you aren't going to get money.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's a contract year. That's why I don't see this. You know, if it continues this year, which I actually personally don't think it continues this year, it's a very favorable schedule.
Cheers, Talon.
I think you sell because I think you can lure somebody in for a lot of value on this. Especially if you need a running back, you need a wide receiver. And if you have a guy, I don't know, like Deshaun on your bench, like Tyrod on your bench, like Mariota, you know, somebody that you can plug in every week that's serviceable, then I'm selling this guy because I think you can get somebody to jump at this bait.
And you could get similar value from the guy you get back in the quarterback you start.
Exactly.
Yeah, he only has 2 games under 250 yards. Which is just
– I don't see that continuing.
I just can't believe that this guy's doing this, dude. He was a career, like, 250-yard passer, like, every week. Would throw for, like, 6-7 yards per attempt. Would not throw a lot of touchdowns. 2 was a lot for him. And this guy's just slinging like he's just been slinging the whole time.
It's Frank Torres.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And the rushing is still there. Some games – And Tyreek Hill, I can't say enough about him. He's just an absolute stud. I can't believe he's still doing it. Every week he just seems to catch the long one and throws up those peace signs. And once he throws up those peace signs, you know he's out.
No peace signs this week, AJ. Yeah. No peace signs this week.
I can't catch the L. I hope not. So, yeah, I'm buying him and you're selling.
I'm selling my L.
It could go either way on this guy, so –
It's basically comes out of you buying into the hype.
Yeah,
pretty I'm not buying into the hype. I've seen this guy play. You know, I shit on Dak last year. I said the same thing. Well, I'm in love with Dak this year because he seems to get it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Shout out to Tim Flank on that one.
But Alex Smith, I don't see it. We know what he is. We watched him for 10 years. I just don't see it.
It's crazy. He's a whole totally different player this year. And I give a lot of credit to Andy Reid for designing and putting the pieces around him that he has. Andy's just an offensive genius, man. I don't know.
He's a quarterback. He's a guru. Resurrects quarterbacks.
Yeah, and he resurrected this guy. And like I said, I think he can easily keep it up. But as easily as he can keep it up, he could easily not keep it up. So this is all, like I said, this is all just us telling you our opinions. It just all comes down to you. Do you think that he's going to keep this up? That's all it is. So.
And my answer is no. AJ says yes. But that's okay. That's why we're here.
Yep.
All right. So, Alex Smith, I think you suck. But anyway. Anyway, with that being said, again, AJ mentioned earlier we are going to have our matchup player sleepers in our bus in the document file on our Facebook group.
That'll be posted tonight.
We posted tonight on our Facebook group, Fantasy Fools, also on our Twitter account, @Fantasy_Fools. Again, continue to follow us, continue to tweet at us. We want your continued support. We appreciate you guys listening. As always, this is the Fantasy Fools with AJ Farrell and Jimmy McCabe, and we will see you guys again next week. Have a good one. Go Birds!
Good luck in your matchup. Rams run by.
Don't go Rams.